We're on page 196 in the Kuzari, but we're going to do mostly material outside of the text today. I just want to remind you, because we didn't meet for last week, and I'm grateful to Rabbi Spitz for having given the class last week, that we were discussing this idea that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi presents in a few places in the Kuzari, and that is Judaism that is arrived at through commitment devoid of intellect is superior to Judaism that is arrived at through intellect. And that's, at face value, can seem somewhat counterintuitive. In other words, one would think that if my intellect is engaged in the process of faith, then that would only strengthen my faith. If I try to process a lot of these ideas, working through certain intellectual concepts, using my rationale, thinking about my ideas about God and the universe and things like that, that should really only strengthen my emunah. And Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says, no, when it comes to trying to understand all of these, the details of the mitzvahs, if you're going to try to pick apart every single mitzvah and try to come to a fuller understanding using rational explanations, he says that's not the best thing to do. The best thing to do is to have emunah pishuta, simple faith. And therefore, I only go through some of these exercises that I go through in the Kuzari for the sake of those who aren't on that optimal level of emunah pishuta, simple faith. I really would prefer, however, if people could arrive at that higher level of emunah pishuta. And this really got us onto the discussion of, is this a satisfactory approach? Is this something that appeals to us? And why is it that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi has this ideal in mind, that he feels that ideally a person should not pick apart everything intellectually and really accept things holistically on a level of emunah that is devoid of intellect? And this really got us onto a discussion from Rabbi Dessler in the Michtav Meliyahu, where he told us the story. We opened up with the story of Rabbi Elisha ben Abuya. Rabbi Elisha ben Abuya, of course, was a great sage, but then at some point in his life became a heretic and abandoned Judaism completely. Not only did he abandon Judaism, but he eventually became an enemy of the Jewish people and actually created problems with the Roman authorities for the Jewish community, which was why he was really viewed as not just a renegade, but really a person who turned his back entirely on Yiddishkeit and Torah. And it's not even clear whether the moment before he died he was able to reconcile himself with Hashem. It was a very, very dramatic person in rabbinic literature. And the two points that Rav Dessler draws out of the life of what he was known later on as Acher, the other, you know, like sort of change, you know, that theme that a person's name change, you know, that you have that from Star Wars, you know, Anakin Skywalker becomes Darth Vader. So Elisha ben Avuya, this was the original Darth Vader. Elisha ben Avuya became Acher. He became the other, right? And so there are two features of sort of what we could trace going back to his early life, what caused him to go astray. One was the shalolishma aspect of his upbringing, that his father had committed him to a life of Torah scholarship, not for the sake of Torah scholarship, but because he wanted his son to occupy an honored status within the Jewish community and really be able to benefit from whatever benefits Torah scholarship provides to an individual. And then the second feature of Rabbi Elisha ben Abuya's life was that there were certain intellectual problems that he had with Judaism over the course of his lifetime. The first thing that Rav Dessler identifies is that he studied a lot of Greek philosophy, and he had a lot of questions, and he had a lot of difficulties with certain issues of faith, especially from that story of where he once observed a father telling his son, climb up the tree and send away the mother bird, and the child climbs up the tree, and before he can fulfill the mitzvah, falls to his death. So he was very, very disturbed that the two mitzvahs, which the Torah promises long life, resulted in the death of this child. And so he had difficulty with faith issues. And this is really where I wanted to focus our attention, that what is a person, you know, how does a person arrive at faith? And how does intellect play a role in the acquisition of faith and the maintenance of that faith? Because a lot of times we are, you know, questions come into our minds, questions come into our hearts. And how do we deal with them? And how do we categorize them? How do we sort of, do we just push them aside? Do we push them out of our minds? Do we indulge those questions? And when we do indulge those questions, how are we supposed to indulge those questions? Are we supposed to be analytical about it? Are we supposed to be intellectual? Or is there something deeper? So we're skipping into a paragraph that I wanted to bring to your attention now. It's on the first side of the page, where it says, Emunah v'chakira. Emunah v'chakira is faith and investigation, or analysis, you know, intellectual analysis. Chakira is also the term that's used for philosophical speculation. And Rav Dessler says as well, first he had talked about the proper way of acquiring Torah scholarship is to really delve into as much Torah study as possible. And the more you delve yourself into Torah study, the more scholarship you'll attain. But he says, this is Zohi Gam Derech HaAliyah BeEmunah. This is also how a person can elevate oneself in issues of faith. His alus be'emunah pinimis, madrega achar madrega. The way a person really can elevate oneself, level after level, in acquiring a deeper and more profound faith in Hashem, ba'a al yedei his amkus b'torah atzma, can only come about through the study of Torah itself. And Rav Dessler's thesis is that if a person wants to be able to fortify their faith, that does not come about through philosophical speculation, but rather comes about through more intensified Torah study. And so here, let's hear what he has to say. V'lo al yedei chakirot haseichel mufshatot. It cannot come, true faith cannot come about through pure intellectual or philosophical speculation that is devoid of the study of Torah. And he says as follows, he says, Ta'us hi lachshov shi'cholim lahasig et ha'amunah ha'mukhletet al yedei chakirot sichliot u'filosofia. He says, it is an error to think that a person can arrive at ultimate truths and faith in God through intellectual or philosophical speculation. Hare ha'seichel mishuchad al yedei kol minei nigiot. He says, because after all, the intellect is mishuchad. How would you translate the word mishuchad?
Swayed.
Is swayed, or prejudiced, or biased.
Biased.
Yeah, biased through all different kinds of prejudices. Okay, haratzon matet haseichel la'an shehu chafetz. A person's desire. Thank you so much.
I brought you one last week, but you weren't here. She was very happy.
Did Rabbi Spitzer?
I didn't give it to him. I don't know how he takes it. I don't know how you take it.
That's right.
So we thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We just learned the word mishuchad. This is shochad.
Right? I was going to say.
This is a bribe.
So.
Teacher's pet, right? Thank you, really.
You're
thank
welcome,
you very much.
It's not bribery. I bought myself one, so I feel
so you can enjoy your coffee more
right.
When
that
I drink.
Is exactly.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so he says, Haratzon matet haseichel anshu chafetz. He says, my own personal agenda, my own desires of what I want in life, actually is in the driver's seat. We tend to think that our intellect is in the driver's seat and drives the way that we're drawn in life, but it's just the opposite. Our desires in life, for ambition, for physical gain, for success, or whatever it is, drives our intellect and allows our intellect to believe certain truths that are really driven by our desires. So, kishahadam pone el sichlo, v'term hitamek batorah, If a person tries to use intellectual speculation before having really delved into Torah study, ubiseis et emunato al kabbalat avot ve'emunat chachamim, and does not ground his faith on what a tradition that he receives from his ancestors, and he instead says, you know what, I don't want to be tainted by any prejudices of Judaism. I'm going to strip away all preconceived notions. I'm not going to study any more Torah, and I just want to use my own intellect to arrive at the truth. Siman hu she'eino rotze la'amin. He says that's the ultimate sign that he doesn't want to believe. He doesn't want to believe. And he says, Lachain pone el shofet meshuchad sheyore lo kirtzano. It's a beautiful prose that he writes. And that's why he turns to a prejudiced judge, namely his own intellect. You know, it's funny because, when I was much younger, I was much more active as a moyel. And I would do a lot of bris milas for non-observant families. And invariably, you know, you get into a discussion, especially if, let's say, the wife is Jewish and the husband is not Jewish. So the question is, why are you going to raise your child? So a lot of times the answer, well, we're going to let the child decide how he would like to grow up. And of course, now, let me ask you something. If your parents had given you the choice to either have Christmas, Easter, be like all the other kids, be able to go to McDonald's and have lots of fun with all the other kids and not be different, or to stand like a sore thumb in public school and to have to stay home on Saturdays and only eat kosher, you can't go to the Chuck E. Cheese's parties and all these other things, what would you have chosen as a kid? I can't think of any child that would objectively choose, I mean, not any child, obviously there are exceptional people, even as children. But very, very few children would make those kinds of independent choices to choose Judaism, right, over... And of course, there are many intellectual arguments that you could make that, you know, we have to be, especially, you know, in society today, we have to be egalitarian and we have to be accepting of all faiths, and there really is no one faith, and there is no one truth, and everyone's right. So you can't rely, essentially Rav Dessler's argument is that if you're trying to arrive at objective truth, don't trust your intellect, because your intellect is not objective. And Haseichel Gamugbal, he says, and I'll tell you one other thing, he says. The intellect is also limited. And you know why? Because ki ha-machshava miyusedet al tziurim gashmiim shehim mugbalim. Because the intellect is confined by three or four dimensional time and space. We can only conceptualize things in our minds that are within our purview of experience. Things that are beyond our experience as human beings are not even conceptualizable. That's even a word, right? And aval ha'emuna haba'a mipnimiyut ha'adam ein sholetet aleha hagbalot elu. He says, but when faith emerges from within, from a spiritual place, not from the intellect, not from the mind, but from an inner core that, according to Rav Dessler, even transcends the mind, he says that kind of faith is not confined by the human experience. B'chvar katav ha-Rabbi Nachman mi-Breslov zatzal, she-b'mokom asher sham gevulo el shel ha-seichel, sham maschila ha-emuna. He says, Rabbi Nachman used to say that where the intellect stops is where faith begins. That's the starting point for faith. Omnam chuyavnu livarer et emunatenu al yedei haseichel. He says, this does not contradict the dictum that we are taught in Chovot HaLevavot, the very important medieval work that states that a person should use their intellect, but only after they've established faith. In other words, once you've established faith, once you believe in Hashem and in His Torah through a very, very strong grounding in Torah study, then try to find intellectual arguments for the things that you believe in, but only after the fact. Achein hagisha, so therefore the approach should not be, should lo tehe, masha ani mevin besichli akabel, o masha sichli eno masid lo akabel. The approach should not be, whatever I can intellectually understand, I will accept, and whatever I cannot intellectually accept, I shall not accept. Chalila, God forbid. Ein hakavana sheyismoch al sichlo bilvad. The intent is not to rely exclusively on your intellect. Ki bazelo yuchal lahagia af pam el birur ha'emet. Because using the intellect alone will never allow you, will never bring you to the true path. Because it is biased and it is limited, as we've just explained. So therefore, the way that we verify our faith through intellect is that after a person has arrived at a well-established faith based upon a tradition that he has received from his ancestors. And by the way, the tradition that I received from my ancestors does require a certain level of intellectual verification. In other words, I have to say, well, it's logical that generations and literally millions upon millions of Jews who come before me, who have lived throughout the centuries, were willing to give up their lives for a faith system that seems to have served my people overall fairly well over the centuries, and it has kept our people cohesive. We are the longest living religion known to man, without cessation. We have provided the greatest gifts, both intellectual and moral gifts, to mankind. We've changed civilizations, we've changed cultures and so forth, and we've had a transformative effect on humanity, and therefore intellectually it makes sense to accept the traditions that are passed down to us. Once I have accepted that as truth, so then, when I accept the greatness of Judaism and the greatness of our sages who were abundantly wise, then only then should a person try to make the things that he does and that he believes in intellectually sound using intellectual arguments. So the argument that Rav Dessler makes is there is a role for intellect, but the role for intellect comes after the firmly established faith affirmations that all of us are supposed to arrive at, not intellectually, but rather through a tradition that was passed down to us. So it's a two-step process. We accept and we believe based upon what our parents and our teachers and our culture has passed on to us. And once we put everything into practice and we affirm that faith based on the tradition, we have a mandate to go ahead and try to intellectualize as much as we can, to try and offer rational explanations for why our tradition says certain things. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure whether Rabbi Yehuda Halevi would agree completely with Rabbi Dessler. Because Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says, you know, it's unclear to whom he's speaking. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was very, very concerned about the intellect. It was a very, very important topic to him because, as we've mentioned many times, he lives within a society that extols the intellect, and he's been witness to the Islam of his time, and to a certain extent the Christianity of his time, that has, in his estimation, has over-rationalized, has over-intellectualized faith issues. Faith issues during this medieval period in which Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is living has been synthesized and integrated completely with philosophical writings. So you have something called kalam, which we've spoken about before, is a certain type of Islamic philosophy, which tries to rationally prove certain tenets of the Islamic faith. You have something that would be written after Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, which is the Moreh Nevuchim, by the Rambam. But even before Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, you had the writings of Emunot V'Deyot from Rabbi Sadia Gaon, which uses the Kalamist style to argue and prove certain things about the Jewish faith. You have philosophy being written by great Islamic scholars. You have philosophy being written by great Christian scholars. And I think that part of what Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was bothered with, or what he felt was counterproductive, was this over-intellectual philosophy that is being heaped upon Judaism. And instead of actually enhancing it, many times it's a distraction and a degradation of the Jewish faith, because really it's much more pristine in its original form, and we shouldn't tamper with the original. And that's what I think that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, where he's coming from. Rav Dessler tries to sort of maneuver between the two paths of the Rambam and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. But I think that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi really is, in many ways, an anti-intellectual. I'm going to explain all of these things to you very intellectually, but it would be much better if I didn't need to explain these things to you at all. That's really his approach. Okay? Let's keep this in mind as we continue through the Kuzari, because there's a certain attitude that we will see that we will encounter throughout the Sefer, which is these truths are self-evident, and they don't need to be intellectually proven. But we will put them out on the table for you because it is so self-evident that just by reading about what I'm going to be talking about, you'll realize right away how obvious these things are and how basic these things are. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is teaching us about Jewish thought while at the same time almost explaining to us these things are axiomatic. I can prove them to you if pressed for proofs, but I'd much prefer spending time on discussing the truths without having to prove them. I guess that's the sort of the approach that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is trying to take. Okay?
So he's really agreeing with Rabbi Dessler.
Well, certainly the first part of what Rabbi Dessler says he agrees with, which is base your faith on tradition. Don't base it on the intellect. I think Rav Dessler does find even more room for intellect than Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Rav Dessler, of course, you know, lives into the 20th century. He's a much more modern thinker. And he is aware of an entire school of Jewish thought from the Chovot HaLevavot and from the Morei Nevuchim, from great Jewish thinkers who did intellectually pick apart and philosophize about Judaism. So therefore, Rav Dessler wants to try and find some kind of reconciliation between those two schools. But I don't think Rabbi Yehuda Halevi needs to find that reconciliation. Okay, we'll hold it here, and we'll continue Bezrat Hashem in the text next time.